Yo. So it's a lot of people out there that think they really know you. Truth be told, the only people that really know you are the ones that was with you. So I'm gonna tell you how it really went down.
If you could look back in my life, would you talk about me?
Talk about me.
If you could see what I've been through, would you do without me?
Yeah.
If I could change the hands of time or rewrite my story line by line. This is my life.
It's my life.
This is my life.
Yeah. Back when I was a teenager, used to rock a Motorola pager before cell phones came out down in the dirty south. Used to kick it on the block in the spot till the spot got hot and got raided by the cops a lot. Me and my man Cash Money, who was known for slapping cats with bottles if they ever try to act funny. DJ Slash and Crash on the mix at Bobby Moore's place or the shack way down in the sticks. I never was much of a clubber, but kept a bump in my trunk in the 5.0. Was known for burning rubber, unashamedly Southern believe. No doubt, but perfecting my flow with the dread up on Jamaica Ave. Corona Queens was the scene back in the days. Blazing demo tapes, first ride on the subways. I saw the hip-hop game, wanted to get in. Was blazing gas on the block, but Eric B was tripping.
If you could look back in my life, would you talk about me? If you could see what I've been through, would you do without me?
Around 19 when the Holy Spirit spoke to me, realized I wasn't the man I was supposed to be. Caught up in small town drama, religious like I was the Dalai Lama, but wicked to the core like Osama bin Laden. Seeking knowledge cause I was undercover violent, got kicked out of college and my scholarship I demolished it. Under fire, but I'm a silver tongue liar, and now they got me dumping the trash over there in South Wire. Court date quickly approaching me, they gonna send me away, but I wanna stay like I was Jodeci. Thinking about the voice of my pops, but wouldn't listen. Now I'm wondering if it's the end. New edition.
New edition.
Three cats up for a bid, but did the crime as a man. Now the judge got me feeling like a little kid. First one got time, second one got time, the third one was released by the divine.
If you could look back in my life, would you talk about me?
Talk about me.
If you could see what I've been through, would you do without me?
Did a 180 to keep him going crazy in 1990 on the altar. That's where you can find me. Dipped out on my crews and my clicks and my boys hitting licks and retired my sacred bag of tricks. Although I never drank Hennessy when I needed counseling clinically, got called to ministry. I stopped hanging in the projects where many dudes was plotting, and soon my logic became theologic. Should have been behind bars in jail, so I prayed hard and read the scripts instead of me chasing tail. On my knees, that's why I talked to him, and in 25 years, he never spilled nothing brought to him. Over time, I got a queen and a son and a daughter. What good is a brick without the mortar? Then when I was feeling gloom in my living room, he spoke to my heart and told me to launch the word of truth.
If you could look back in my life, would you talk about me?
Would you talk about me?
If you could see what I've been through, would you do without me?
What's up, everybody? That's my man right here. I got him in the building, in the house, on the horn. He's the husband. He's the father. He's the critical thinker, the urban theologian. We call him the minister, pastor, Felix Moten, in the house. What's up, man of God?
Man, what's going on with you, man? Everything good?
Everything's good, fam.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
You are so hip-hop, man.
Well, dude, I just love the culture. I love being bilingual. I love being able to speak on different levels, and the kids, along with even that generation that was born in the hip hop era, man. They right. Those people are 40 something now, and they feel it. It is what it is, man. You know,
it is what it is. You know, we opened the show up with your song "My Life," man. Let's talk about that a little bit. Everybody just got a chance to hear it. So tell me about "My Life."
That pretty much is a chronicle. I actually got part of the title that I called The Chronicles, because my life pretty much explains how I came from being a teenager that was doing hip hop and nearly getting signed back when I used to go back and forth to New York and doing demo tapes, and I was nearly on, man, almost got on, but there was this cat, Eric B, used to DJ for Rakim, and he used to always accuse me of sounding like Rakim, and so, you know, that kind of shut me down there for a minute, but, you know, I still had some other chances to rock with Howie T in his studio, but, you know, coming down through all that history, man, and actually going from that to going to jail to ultimately being called to ministry and then starting a church, you know, so it was crazy.
Wow, that's incredible, man. I'm looking forward to talking about this whole album with you. I think you got a hot album. You sent it to me. You let me listen to it early, and I really appreciate that love, that respect. And we're gonna make this thing come alive today through this interview. But you said something earlier when you were speaking. You talked about the ability to be bilingual. Can you hit that a little bit before we go to your next song?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. People oftentimes, I think this culture, this generation, I should say, rather, is going to end up missing out on a lot of people that we can reach for the kingdom because they don't realize that we are children of transition. And we happen to be in that sweet spot where we're old enough to speak to the culture previous to us and yet young enough to speak to the culture after us. We just got to be, we got to have enough range and be pliable enough and selfless enough, man, to give up ourselves to be able to speak to both those cultures. For instance, when I go down to Aunt Agnes's church, I know how to sing A Charge to Keep I Have, but at the same time, I can flip back when I go to a younger church and I can pop off my life and the guys will feel me, and I'll end up spending hours after church just talking to teenagers and young adults because they're feeling where I'm coming from. And if we're not bilingual, man, we're going to miss a lot of people.
I believe it. I can see it. Look, I got the urban theologian. He's in the booth. We're going to come back right now. We're going to hit you with a hot song off his new album. It's called Curious.
Yeah. Now I lay me down to sleep in. Pray the Lord my soul to keep in. While I'm speaking, I pray that you listen. It's a few things on my mind got me twisted. Trying to be a Christian in the midst of futile existence. Human beings would rather shoot up or raise a boot up or loot up or do something to make you call your crew up. Different color faces making people racist. Conditioning come to the surface just like a submarine. What's the matter with this planet? Can't understand it. It's in your hands, but seems like it's hard for you to manage it. I made requests and left your messages. I need answers, but do you even know what my question is? I wonder if you heard me. I know I'm undeserving. Don't want to say something that sounds absurd when I'm standing in the presence of the everlasting. My heart's marked with a question, Lord, so I'm asking.
Explain what makes you do to me. I've got questions that's confusing me.
Live longer, and while the wicked seem to be getting stronger, why you leave me in the midst of thieves and liars and took my godson prematurely, Uriah Mathias? Why do women have to battle breast cancer without an answer as they struggle with their finances? Why do single mothers long for lovers while you bless married women who don't really appreciate their husbands? And why you let some suffer getting molested when scripture teaches how much incest vexes you? And why you let kids be raised without fathers who, instead of thanking God for life, ask why you bother?
Why you bother?
And why you take my grandmother? And why you take my sister? God only knows how much I miss them. It's a sad one, make you want to play a violin. So while you answer, I'ma listen, sitting in silence.
What makes you do to me? I've got questions that's confusing me.
Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? I've been thinking, trying to let your words sink in. Sometimes it gets long like Continental Lincoln's. Trying to let my mind renew so I can congrue whenever you do what you do.
So many walking like fools, ignoring all your tools and suffering cause they don't know the rules. I don't wanna be like the simple, so I'ma be like King David and inquire in your temple.
My man Felix Moten, the urban theologian, off of his new album, Transparent Reflections. Man, that's a hot track. Curious, talk to us about it.
Yo, man, Curious is pretty much a prayer. It's as it starts off with the old, you know, now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, you know, that kind of format.
Right.
Because the whole idea is that we as the people of God, and really not just the people of God, but myself, I have questions for God. And sometimes as a pastor, having pastored for nearly 20 years, you know, there are those days when you go to the altar and you lay hands on people and they want you to pray. And sometimes God heals them. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes you have to bury these people. Sometimes these people get sick. Sometimes tragedy hits their families. And there are days when you just want to ask God, what in the world are you doing? Why? And as much as pastors, as we like to look like we got the answer, sometimes we just don't have it. And we just got to go to God and say, God, what's up? And I allude to several things in that song, you know, from breast cancer to fatherless children. I mean, if God is omniscient and if God is omnipotent, you know, we know he can. The question is, why won't you? And we end up having to trust the mind of God and understand that his ways are just higher than our ways.
Right. And it's okay not to have an answer sometimes, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And it better be, because we don't. Straight up.
Hey, I want to let y'all know that I want you guys to go to YouTube and check out Pastor Felix Moten. I know I'm talking to the recording artist right now, but if you ever get a chance to just go hear the preacher preach, you're going to hear some crazy, wild, unconventional, unorthodox stuff, but he all up in the book. So, look, take this out. I'm real curious about a couple things here that's going on in our country right now. Because I have you, we don't want to waste this moment. Here you are. We got all kinds of stuff going on with the election cycle that's about to come. And we got a lot of young black preachers that and older black preachers that have met with Donald Trump. And, you know, some people are worried about the meeting. Should they meet? Should they not meet? You know, I tend to rest on the part of the church is really taking a black eye right now. And I wanted to know if you could speak into that right here during this listening party.
I will tell you what hit my heart when I watched these interviews and I've heard the things that have been going on. I honestly believe it was a waste of time. I believe it was a stunt for Donald Trump to get a bunch of free publicity. And the reason I say that is because everybody that he met with, from what I can see, were not prepared to deal with any of the issues.
Right.
I don't see him meeting with any of the prominent or premier black theologians and or pastors that I ascribe to. I mean, it's that same old crew. People that want to get photo ops and trying to come up and trying to grow the churches, and they're not the best, the charismatic, but you know what I'm talking about. There's that crew that always shows up with the shiny shoes and the big collars and the suits and whatnot and a lot of makeup, and they don't really get it done. They don't get it done. I mean, the interview I heard, the guy was actually – I heard an interview today with a guy that was talking with Roland Martin, and he was basically running off the mouth saying, you know, God has given us the power to get wealth. And he's talking to Donald Trump about God has given us the power to get wealth. That is just not the same arena. As much as I love Scripture, it's not the arena for you to come in here with a bunch of hyper-spiritualism. This is time for you to do business. And it just goes to prove what one of my main points is that I make reference to all the time. – there's different lanes for everybody. I get it if you're a preacher. But understand something. You got to know your lane. There's a reason that God sends the Apostle Paul before Agrippa and not Peter.
You just
got to be real. You know what your lanes are. You know what your limitations are. I can name five preachers right now that I would love to meet with Donald Trump that can speak for the nation. Ask these questions. Why weren't the premier people there? Why wasn't Al Sharpton there? Why wasn't Jesse Jackson there? Why wasn't Tony Evans, you know, people that I respect, that I know, that I've seen do things. You got these guys out there that nobody knows, and they just getting a camera out, man. I wasn't feeling it.
And you know, the funny thing about that camera now, that spotlight will illuminate you, but it'll also set you on fire.
Bruh, they became infamous. And the part that really burns me up is they represent us, whether we want them or not.
Oh, yeah.
It's like every black male that people look at, when you get on the elevator and a woman clenches her purse, it's because the black male she saw on television, she assumes is you. And I'm telling you, whether we want to be a part of that buffoonery or not, now that they have been – they're not saying Trump met with 100 pastors. He met with 100 black pastors, and so people look at them as a microcosm of the whole. And now we have been misrepresented by a bunch of foolishness, and it makes me ill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Look, we're going to go to your song. It's called How We Do It. It's the minister's anthem. And we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about that thing just a little bit more. Everybody keep it locked. Don't go anywhere. It's my man. I got him in the building. Felix Smokin.
Yep.
I tell him, you know what? It's not as easy as you think. Tear-stained faces, can't show, godforsaken places, but have to go, long overtime, short dough, ask me how I'm living, so, degrees on the wall, requirements, high college debt, low respect, ministry to people, high price, current lifestyle, Sacrifice. Many congregations, friends few. Can't believe the evils that men do. Scared I won't complete my calling. Earthly tabernacle dissolved.
Sometimes I pray when I'm alone. Sometimes your tears when I feel low. Feel stressed when don't nobody know. Still pressed when I don't wanna go. They don't know. This is how we do.
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 But faithful. Early mornings, late evenings. Middle of the night, sleepless. Misunderstood and left behind. Struggling in search of peace of mind. A man truly righteous, who can find? I pray that you can change this heart of mine. Body feeling weak, desire strong. Sing a song,
sing a song.
Tried to call a friend, he passed on. Gotta keep my head, I'm in a storm. Real godliness and not a form. I tremble when I walk, I'm breaking down.
Yeah, we're giving you a real nice listening party right here on the Excel Broadcasting Network. I've got my man Felix Moten in the building, and you just heard the track, How We Do It, the Minister's Anthem. Let's speak about that and talk about that, because that song will hit you right in the heart.
Yo, I'm going to tell you, that song, that was the first hip-hop song I ever wrote with tears in my eyes.
Oh, my God.
Because, honestly, the thing I've been after is to do hip-hop as worship. And that song, man, it was crazy because I feel like I crammed 25 years of ministry into 4 minutes.
Wow.
And it's just the real story. And people always ask you, you know, I have people that come up to me all the time, and they're like, man, I just don't know how you do it. Like we got so much Holy Ghost that we don't hurt and we don't get sick and we don't have bill situations and, you know. And my thing was to tell my story and let people know, here's how we do it. We go through the same stuff you do, but we show up. You know what I'm saying? Every excuse you make, we got those same excuses, but we don't allow ourselves to have them. Because we got to show up regardless, because we are called to do this. And that song, man, it's heartbreaking, because I even let one of my ministers hear it, and they were like, not ministers, but one of my members hear it, and they were like, that's kind of depressing. I said, you got that right. It's very depressing if you don't understand the power that works in us.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
real, man. It's real.
Oh, yeah. One of the things I would like to say to people is that as my pastor got older, you know, now he's fighting some dementia and things like that. As he got older, it began to ring true to me of just how much of his life he gave, you know, doing this thing, preaching the word, being this minister of the gospel, just, you know, every day being bivocational, because he just felt like he gonna serve the church and he gonna make his own money and all those kind of things. And just to see his life, you know, like you were saying, you know, he never had an excuse. He was always there. He's always preaching, always teaching, always exhorting. He didn't say, hey, I feel like I'm owed some things too. So I know that feel. Just even in my own life, being a 49-year-old man, I know that feel, what it is to give your life to Christ at 15 and you don't do what everybody else is doing. You choose a different path. You got your hand on a plow. So, you know, this song right here speaks to the heart of the minister. And, you know, for those of you that are out there listening today, I hope that this song helps you to see what your leader, your spiritual leader, your pastor, what he's dealing with, what she's dealing with, what's really going on in their lives, and how they need your prayers, they need your support. Because just like they're pouring into you, you got to keep them before God so God can keep pouring into them. Because I say, if you look at every soldier, if he takes that armor off, you'll see a whole lot of scarring and a lot of, you know, welts and a lot of cuts and scrapes from being on the battlefield. So I really appreciate that song. So tell me this too, man. How does this work with, you know, doing this new album, being a hip-hop head, coming up out of the 90s, really, you know, loving hip-hop and, you know, getting saved and going to school and, getting those letters with your name and all that good stuff. How do you put all this together? Because it is like a diabolical mix in a great way, though. How are you putting all this together?
Man, it is really me striving to just stay true to myself, because I come from an era of hip-hop that was like 86 to mid-90s, and that's just my vibe. And so when I went looking for producers, I normally in my previous albums I did most of the tracks myself, because I would make the tracks at the house and then write the rhymes. But on this last album, my mindset was, you know, I want to just concentrate on the substance of the rhymes, and I wanted some new production so I could kind of create a sound with my style of rap, and then be able to bring some tracks in that had a little new flavor to them, so it wouldn't sound dated. And when I put it together, man, it actually just kind of flowed. It's like I was only going to do like 10 songs at first, and then it just evolved into like 16, 17 tracks, because the music, once the music starts flowing, man, you know, you flow. And I still cut it. There were songs that didn't make the album, but it was just pouring out my heart, man. And that's why it's so diverse. It's got songs, you know, dealing with ministry, most of them dealing with ministry, and then some dealing with different challenges that are going on in the church from a doctrinal standpoint. And then most of the songs dealing with me falling all over the place, because I'm telling you, I tell people all the time, I fell more than I stood. Honestly, it is by the grace of God, man, that I'm doing what I'm doing.
Wow, that is absolutely crazy. Can you speak to this thought right here? I had someone tell me today that they're looking for the people that you represent, the church, are people that are upstanding, people that have no character issues, that are trustworthy, people that have it together. And I told him, well, if that be the case, then we need to strike Moses, David, we need to strike Abraham, MLK, Catherine Coleman. I just started going down a laundry list, and, you know, just to hear you say that, you know, even in your life you fail every day, and this is what this album is all about. Can you speak to that as a critical thinker? Because there are so many people that are going to listen to this, you know, and they need to know, man, what they need to know about how they approach their walk with God, so that when they do fail or when they do fall, that they fail or they fall forward. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely. I don't know where we ever got this misnomer that the saints were supposed to be perfect or were perfect. Even in the scripture, you know, I think when people hear that, they think about the saints. They're really looking at it from the context of the finished saints. You know, sainthood doesn't begin at death or when you enter heaven. Sainthood begins the moment you give your life to Jesus. You become a saint. But you're positionally righteous. Positionally righteous.
Right.
Not fully righteous in the sense of your acts or your thought processes. If that were the case, there would be no battle. You know, you're delivered from the penalty of sin, not the presence of sin. And you are working every day through the process of sanctification to overcome the power of sin. You know, so I don't know where we got that from. And I think it's just that self-righteousness that we have amongst ourselves, where we feel like we're perfect or we're better and we want to look down on other people. But the reality is this, and the Apostle Paul substantiates it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, man, I've learned to boast in my weaknesses. I boast in my infirmities so that the power of God may rest on me. Because when I understand it's no longer I, but Christ that lives on the inside of me, well, that's where I got to give the credit. That's where the glory goes. It's not us. And I'll tell you, if people will just be honest, and I've been around a lot of folks. I preach in a lot of different kind of churches, man. Honestly, when I start sitting around people, it's like the more I confess my faults, the more comfortable they feel in confessing their faults, and the stuff starts coming out the woodwork.
But it
never fails. And I heard this from a very prominent preacher. He said this. He said, when we share our strengths, it breeds competition. When we share our weaknesses, it breeds community. And I believe that with all my heart. And I'll tell you, I think it's another thing that plagues us as the black church. We are bred to share our strengths. When we testify, we tell people how we made it, you know, how we made it over. And we never get up and tell people, man, I'm wrestling with lust. We never get up and say stuff like that, because you know, it makes people look at you funny. But the reality is, man, that's what the most people are dealing with. And the more we can share that, the more we can bring these down and bring the valleys up.
Wow, you are preaching. Don't you guys go anywhere. We got a song right here that's going to peel your head back to the white meat. It's called Money. Check it out.
Bill, cross out front, but inside it's matter relevant. Biblical Christ, not enough. We want a better one.
Bring your wife and your kids.
Cause we start at 11 and it's lights, camera, action. Music blasting, do a song and a dance. Then we go for the cash, yeah, passing the pan. Hocus pocus pouring oil from a flask in your hand. We balls with sheet masking. Here we go again, all up in the spot again. Supposed to be worshiping, but we trying to get these ends. From blue collars to white collars, it's all dollars. Partiality make you flatter. Me, that's a strategy with soft melodies and slick indulgences. A round of applause for the preacher, but the glory belongs to the master, not a man. You see, Pharisees like a racket and cheese. Feel me, please. Feel me, please. Somersaults, your pedal steady pulling the strings and got you going off. You call it the spirit cause you ignorant to the show. Didn't realize that your name was Pinocchio. So throw up your hands, yo, wait, just do a dance. Hold up, give him applause. Now look, you straight exhausted. Emotion now, from a rebel to a criminal. Your vision blurred so you sleep on the subliminal. Look at you now, wipe the sweat from your brow. Wondering how you gon' pay your rent cause you left it on the altar. Thought you saw miracles with signs and wonders, but noise in the smoke and the mirrors got you plundered. Now you're walking with a limp, looking up at the ceiling. Thought you got set free, you was just catching feelings. I know deliverance is mad appealing, but when the last time you seen Jesus charge for healing? Come on. Want you to peep these like it needs to Martin Luther's 95 theses. Some of our minds think low, we gotta scale them up. Check the wisdom in my flow, I'm about to nail them up. Why I gotta be cursed and manipulated if I don't tie the way it's being orchestrated? And how you gonna leave a brother struck down and smitten when the curse was broken after Malachi was written? How you gonna have a building fund when you emasculate fathers and kill their sons? And how you gonna put a cover charge on living water at a church full of Samaritan women who hate their daughters? Ecclesiastic calamities grinding up families. You don't even care, you steady stacking cheese. I know the game, I used to spit on the mic for the crowd, but this is the church. No pimping allowed, and no Pharisees, and no Sadducees, and no celebrities. We only worship Jesus. He wasn't rich, he died broke and naked, hanging from a tree in the middle of town around sundown. People clowned him, told him to come down if he was truly the Father, Son, like he announced when they said this. He didn't sprinkle change, they pierced him in with blood and water. He made it rain, yeah.
Smell like money to me. That's my man right there. Yeah, transparent reflection. I got the preacher, the critical thinker, the husband, the father right here, Pastor Felix Moten, the recording artist. What's up, man? Let's talk about how people can reach out to you and get a hold of you and the information. So hit us up. What's your church website right now?
Most definitely, man. My church is the Word of Truth Christian Church in Bremen, Georgia. The website is www.wotcci.org. That's www.wotcci.org, Word of Truth Christian Church. Also, you can catch me on YouTube. If you just go in or Google me, if you just put in Felix D. Moten, you're going to see me on YouTube. We're on Charter Cable. You can also catch me on Glory to God Television. It's www.glorytogodtv.com. It's 24-hour broadcast, but you can see us on that. My YouTube channel is Truths That Transcend, and it's the underlying motto there is where theology meets culture. That's what I try to present in my messages when I preach on Sundays at our church. You can catch me on Facebook under Felix Darrell Moten. You can catch my fan page at No Flesh, and I've got another page as an artist, which is No Flesh Urban Theologian. And Twitter, at The Real No Flesh, and at Felix D. Moten. So you can catch me on just about everything, man. Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, I'm all over the place.
You're all over the place. And make sure you go to iTunes and pick up this new album by Felix Moten, and it's called Transparent Reflections, and it is a banger. And you guys are going to love it. You're going to love
everywhere.
It. I listen to it. I get my groove on. I listen, I grow, I get, you know, I get introspective, I get reflective, I learn a few things, you know what I mean? It is really good information. If you guys are liking people like Lecrae and Flame and all those guys, this guy right here is going to take you back, and he's going to bring some of that fresh stuff to you as well. So I think they need to go and get your album. So let's fast forward a second right here. Let's talk about what we just heard, this track, Money.
That's what's up.
Because I think you're like something in here looking like money, smell like money, smelling real funny, look like money to me, yeah. I'm like, come on, man, let's talk about it a little bit. Because, you know, this is a big issue for people. Big
Most
issue.
Definitely. Most definitely.
So let's talk about it.
Most definitely, man. I think I heard a real prominent minister say, and I'm just saying that because I don't want to quote a bunch of people's names, but he said there's a couple of things in church that the saints know they want, but they always feel like they're obligated to act like they don't, and that's sex and money. And I'll tell you, in today's culture, I feel like one of the biggest off roads that we have taken is how we interpret and how we teach what money, how it's supposed to be handled in church, as far as the tithing principle, as far as offerings, as far as our motives and the direction that we go with our finances in church. You know, everything now is about God giving you power to get wealth and going to the extremes as far as God wanting everybody to be rich. And it's ridiculous. I mean, and I don't mean to sound disrespectful, man, but if you do any serious biblical exegesis, you will find that those things just do not carry weight. My model has always been Jesus. I mean, you cannot honestly or biblically justify a God who says it is the blessing of God for everybody to be rich, and that those riches are a direct result of your righteousness, and have Jesus be homeless. That is that just does not work out. When you take people in churches that take the tithing principle, and it just becomes a way for you to amass a small kingdom and control people who are poverty stricken, I think it's just foul. And then that's where that song came from. And honestly, I make reference to Martin Luther's 95 Theses because it seems like we've come full circle. It seems like, you know, we don't have a Roman Catholic church anymore, but we do have this new age charismatic church that is now going as far as having a little pew prophets stand up and essentially charge indulgences for people to hear from God, you know, $100 line, $50 line, you know, or whatever. And it's just, we're back square one. Stuff that Martin Luther came essentially and put those 95 theses on the door of the Church of Wittenberg. Prior to that, you had Jesus turning the tables over in the temple. And now here we are again with no flesh releasing money. It's the same cycle.
Same thing. And, you know, I listened to it, and you talked about how, you know, you got this cross, but Jesus is irrelevant to us, you know, like even though we're holding it up, you know, the Jesus on this cross is really irrelevant to the way we preach and teach and the way we think about people and what we're doing with people. And I think if people listen to this song, it's really going to educate them about having proper expectations about where they're attending church and how money is being handled. And I think that is very important that you spoke to that issue. I'm glad God, the Holy Ghost, gave you those lyrics because, man, it drives right home where we need to be and how we need to, you know, experience reformation concerning that.
I'm going to tell you what, I want to say this right quick, man. I believe with that first verse, in those first couple of bars, honestly, man, if people will be honest, they're using the cross as a lure. It's almost like a worm on a hook, you know? And then once you get in there, you find out, okay, this is on something else. And my thing is, that song is about the believer being discerning enough and biblically astute enough to walk in and know their master's voice. That's what it's about. And it liberates the believer, man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. But look, this listening party doesn't stop. We're getting it in right here. Check this track out. It's called Don't Give Up. We'll be right back, and we're going to take it to the house when we do. I got the man, the urban theologian, in the pit.
I'm in a state of panic, my mentality is frantic, and on this vast planet, I see nothing but deep water, I can't see where the land is, sinking deeper and deeper, seems like Satan's got a keeper, I've been calling to God, but somehow I couldn't reach him, so I'm standing in this wilderness, in the flesh, looking like I'm in a training class, to build a mess, on a quest to keep a grip, but I tripped and flipped, and I slipped, and took a long pull and a sip, so now it's on, and you're working hard, they stand up, Satan telling me the world is mine, like Tony Montana, I'm a prisoner on the run from my master, thinking he's a killer, not a lover, so I'ma run faster. Abdominal sickens, my heartbeat quickens, profuse sweating, thinking I'ma take a licking. I hear him coming with a tear in my peripheral, only to turn and find the chase is medicinal.
Why are you running just because life gets tough? Oh, you can make it, just don't give up. Oh, 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 oh.
Well, you know my head is. I don't believe God. Turn around, say ready, set, start, and run another 100 yards. When the last time I ever saw a mankind, so I'ma run like that lion in Madagascar. A long blaster, cause I keep a fast car, too, even though I see conviction in my rear view. Clearer, because it's closer in the mirror. But Shane McGill just won't seem to let a brother cheer up. Fearer, kinda got a brother scared, cause I read Leviticus. A second chance, yo, I don't think he with it, kid. I read a text in Exodus by the God who swallows you up with the earth and makes you drink dust. Because they chose to worship a golden calf, and they didn't want to follow the lead of Moses. Stab like the prodigal, feel like a dude that blows his last on a foul lifestyle off the chosen path.
Why are you running just because life gets tough? Oh, you can make it, just don't give up. Oh, 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 oh.
Now that I'm out of breath and realizing it's always just a setup, I see I've been down long enough, I wanna get up. I see the God I thought wanted to blaze me up. He was chasing me just so that he could raise me up. I didn't know just how real it was. Holla if you feel me, cause I'm realizing I should have never cut the umbilical. I hear him, I think I feel my help coming. Guitar strumming, I got the funky drummer drumming. I'm pulling up my bootstraps, no longer a loose cat. Rocking jeans and Timbs, spitting long beat of hymns. Melodramatic, get at it like an addict, a fanatic. Untatted, but with a pen, make your mind go bananas. I keep it real in the booth, son. I'm spitting the truth, son. Till the death, I represent the Holy One. On the strength, it's not a game we playing, but I never would have made it if I hadn't heard the voice say it.
Why are you running just because life gets tough? Oh, you can make it, just don't give up. Oh, why are you running just because life gets tough?
Fanatic, but with a pimp in your mind, go bananas.
And we're back. That's my man, Felix Moten, right here on the line with me right here on the Excel Broadcasting Network, talking about Don't Give Up from his new album, Transparent Reflections, that you, yes, you, Y-O-U, the person that's listening, you need to go to your web browser right now. Go to iTunes.com and pick up this album from Felix Moten. Let's talk about Don't Give Up, because it seems like you are on nitrous running from God.
Man, that's exactly what that song is about. And it's not the sinner running from God, it's the saint. That's the twist in that song, is that people act like only the sinners can run from God. I'm telling you in this song that there is a place where the saint in a weakened state finds himself like Adam and hiding from the Almighty.
Wow.
Or like Jonah running from the presence of the Lord. It's just a reality. And all these images in Scripture to show us that. And it's our own hypocrisy that makes us come off as if we don't have those days, those moments that we find ourselves running from God. And the song is really about, it's not so much about it's really about the believer not giving up, but the reality, the hope that the believer has in not giving up is the unrelenting pursuit that God makes.
Yes.
Because no matter how many times I look back, he is still breathing down my neck. And it seems like he's coming to get me, but he's really coming to get me. You know what
Come
I'm
on,
saying?
Man. Oh, yeah, that preach, man. It seems like he's coming to get me. Oh, man, I'm going to preach like that. I'm going to use that. But he's really just coming to get me. Come on, man. Oh, wow. That's incredible. Because, you know, I feel like if you really think about it, because you said something earlier in this interview where you talked about we're kind of a transitional voice, you know, in the sense that we can speak back to the older generation because we grew up and we know that stuff. But yet we also have to be bilingual and speak to the generation behind us as well. So we're almost like a transitional voice for God. And, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm listening to what you were just saying and about running from God. There are so many people that are just like us, our age group, that are running right now.
Absolutely.
What would you say to them? If you were talking to a 45, 50-year-old, 60-year-old man right now, or woman, and you know they're running from God, what are you saying to them?
I would say this. If you are in that age range, and I'm in that age range myself, then you are coming face-to-face with some very obvious realities as it relates to your mortality, as it relates to your humanity. Things that you cannot deny. Hairs on your head are beginning to either go missing or change colors. Things that you used to be able to do with your knees and your elbows and joints, those things are not what they used to be. And all of these things are basically just life happening. Some would have you believe, well, Satan's attacking your body. But the reality is the tabernacle is going to dissolve. It's going to dissolve. You're not going to be, the body's never meant to be eternal. That's why you get a glorified one. And I want to say to that person that's listening, the anxiety of doubt that Paul Tillich talks about, it can come in on you, man. It comes rushing in on you and make you feel like nobody understands what you're dealing with. The fear. I talk with a lot of people dealing with fear of death and fear of the unknown and what's going to come after this life, all those different challenges, all those questions start rushing you in. And it never fails, never fails. People either take off running or they run to the church just for the purpose of trying to find some relief. And I'm saying there is much more than relief. There is redemption in the church, in the face of Jesus Christ. And he has a way of giving us peace and helping us to see death coming and have a smile, because we understand that death is just the door. It's just the door, you know? And it also helps me deal with purpose in my life, because when you reach this age, you're either at a place where you're very satisfied and you're excited, or you have regrets and you start thinking, man, I wish I could have been thinking like this when I was 30 or 25 or 20. And at this stage of life, you know, you're really at a place where you're past playing games and you're really ready to just get truth, solid truth. And that's what I would say to that person. I would invite them to know who Jesus Christ is as Lord of their life. That's the only way I'm able to keep my sanity. When I'm doing this music, you see what it's flooded with. It's flooded right. with who Christ is, man. That's how I make it every day because I have those same challenges. I'm raising a 24-year-old. I've raised a 24-year-old. I've raised a 19-year-old. I'm married to a woman of 22 years going on 23. And I got life just like everybody else, gas bills, electric bills, and all that kind of stuff, and parents getting older. And, you know, the time is going to come when you got to bury them, and that anxiety just continues to grow. But I think it's in this time, right now, at this age, this third score of my life where I've got to really sink my teeth in and know this God. And I want to invite those people that are listening to do the same. There's peace in Christ.
Yeah.
And that's the only place I've found it.
Wow. I think that's incredible. Now, for those of you that are listening, I want you to reach out to Felix Moten, Felix D. Moten. He's the pastor of, what's the name of your church, man? It's Word of Truth.
Word of Truth Christian Church.
Word of Truth Christian Church. And the website is www.wotcci.org. So, you know, in today's society, we like to have parties. We like festivities. We like entertainment. But I know this young man will come to your fellowship. He'll come to your event. And he'll not only will you have a good time, but you'll hear the word of God, and you'll lead that better. I'm sure that you can tell from his interview that he's serious about what he's doing. He is indeed a critical thinker. He is on the cutting edge of what a church needs to be. He's thinking in balanced and sound ways. And these are the things that we have to begin to be responsible for in the body of Christ, and we have to be accountable for in the body of Christ, this type of ministry going forth. Enough with all of this stuff, you know, that people are singing and the things they're doing now. It's time to really hone down and say, you know, for the generations to come, you know, we want all that come behind us to find us faithful and to know that we lay a serious bridge and a serious roadway for them to be able to make it and to succeed in their purpose and their destiny and being salt and light in the earth and lifting Christ high. This is the kind of stuff you need to listen to. This is the kind of stuff your kids need to listen to. Look, go to his Twitter page, The Real No Flesh, right?
Amen.
And also at Felix D. Moten right there on Twitter. You can also check him out on YouTube at Felix D. Moten. Just look him up. M-O-T-E-N is how we do Moten. Facebook, yes, Felix Darrell Moten. And also he's got a fan page for No Flesh, and he's got a fan page, No Flesh, the Urban Theologian. I want you guys to go to iTunes right now. Everybody, Excel Nation around the globe, go to iTunes and pick up his new album, Transparent Reflections, because I think it's a great album. Now, before we go, we're gonna go out on this new song, Me and My Ministry. But before we go, I want to know if you, Pastor Moten, have any last wisdom you'd like to drop to this audience here.
I would say, as a church, we must be relevant. We must be bilingual.
Yes.
If we're going to reach this culture, we've got to be able to show them where Scripture is relevant and it is valuable as it relates to their current struggle. If you look at the book of Acts, chapter 2, you see when the Holy Spirit fell, the Holy Spirit essentially enabled them to speak the language of every nation there. The power of God is on us to give us the power to teach and to preach the glorious works of God to every nation, every culture, every age, every genre. And all we have to do is be willing to die enough for him to fill us, so that we can do what we need to do. And I'll just say to anybody that's doing that, press forward. Press forward. Because there's a world of people out there that need to hear this gospel.
Wow. And I think that's incredible, man. I want to thank you for coming by, hanging out in the bullpen with me, man.
What's up, man? No problem.
You know how it is, man. I think it was on Facebook, something I had posted about a Bible study. Somebody tagged you in. And I'm like, we became great friends. We called, we talked. And I told you, I know your album was coming. I wanted to do my part to try to help people around the globe get it, man, and know that it's there so they can change their life, man. I know the quality of man you are, quality of your relationship, man, your beautiful wife, your family, man. I know you're just a real, genuine guy that is doing his best, man, to exalt God in the earth, and I think that is important. So, look, for all of you out there, don't go anywhere. We're taking it home right now with me and my ministry. It's my man, Felix D. Moe.
The girl is fine, but treacherous is her middle name. Because she dangerous, but for many just a game. I take a look in her eyes and see the misery of the reflection of the face looking back at me, which is me. I scoped her out as a teen, I told her that I want her. She was older than me, but I still pushed up on her. I was fast, but she was slower, and she kept telling me over and over, I don't know her. I thought I was in love with the girl, but she lost me. Cause I ain't have a clue about how much she would cost me. Emotional stress and pressure had me in a tug of war. Back when I thought she was satisfied, shorty wanted more. Seemed like the end of the state. I got what short, I gotta live like a saint and still die like a martyr. It's kinda romantic though, cause candlelight dinners keep my spirit well lit, so I don't go back to sinning. I feel like she loves me, then I feel like she breaking me. It's excruciating, I don't even know where she taking me. Holding me close, but then I feel she forsaking me. Lord, give me the strength so I can be what she making me. I hope you feel me.
All I need in this life is sin. It's me and my girlfriend.
Me and my girlfriend.
Down to ride to the morning. It's me and my girlfriend.
Me and my girlfriend.
All I need in this life is sin. It's me and my girlfriend.
Me and my girlfriend.
Down to ride to the morning. It's me and my girlfriend.
Just to make a day, I gave up everything to make a stay. But then she even drove my friends away. Got me looking like a dude I never was when I was my jailer. Cause I get militant like I was a gorilla. I didn't feel her, but nowadays I'm getting milder now. Not like the days in the streets when I was wilding out. She got me calm now, reading the scripture. She flipped it, ain't doing a pistol. People calling me Mr. Making Timothy and Titus my model, son. Cause false prophets and priests, yo, I seen a lot of them. Now I want a character instead of a barrager. And stop snapping off just because of a stereotype. And even when I cheated, you never left me alone, no doubt. And we was up till the morning until we worked it out. When you looked in my eyes, I asked you what you see. And you said, I'll always love you, just keep it real with me. Since the day you told me that I've been trying to be faithful, ring on my finger and I'm committed, now it's peaceful. No weapon formed can prosper, even if it's lethal. The blood ain't see through me, I'm on Mama Sita. Talk to forever.
All I need in this life is sin.
Yeah,
me and my girlfriend.